You never follow, and this is what I'm going to preach on today. You never understand the grace of God when we don't see what He does in the small frames. Hear me today. What God is doing in the small frames and the little picture that you don't see. The small frames. So I want to help you with that today, the small frames. I may not get to my sermon today, but I want to help you in the small frames. God so loved the world that God ordained Tim and Michelle to take their kid to learn how to play the piano. The kid still don't know how to play the piano. Don't even know if the kid is interested in playing the piano. But God connected Anna to the bros so that He could connect Anna to Tyler, so that He could connect Anna and Tyler to the Ukraine so that the gospel could go forth. Amen. So why are you here for? What is your purpose? Amen. It's the small frames. Amen. It's the little pictures of the trophy of the grace of God. Amen. That we often miss. Americans are the worst at wanting the big, the now, the big show. The bright lights, the bigger thing. The scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that creep in and they contaminate the big things of God. Can I just minister to you today? But let's flip that scripture around. Sometimes it's the little things that create the greatness of God. If we watch for the foxes that spoil the vine, we watch as they creep under and the fence and they get the little things that spoil the vine. But as we watch also and protect the little things, we grow the things that God has a bigger picture for. If you want to understand the love of God, if you want to understand the grace of God, learn to pay attention to the small frames. Learn to pay attention to the little things that God does. Learn to rejoice and the little pictures. As I was sitting here last night, God began to show me some things in the congregation as I watched around and I watched moving through. And Bridget, I don't want to embarrass you this day, but I want you to come up here. I'm going to embarrass you, but it's not because I hate you. It's because I love you. And I'm not going to tell her story, but I sometimes we see Bridget on the platform singing and I watched her last night, and I began to just weep because you don't know her story. You don't know her family. You don't know the hardships of her childhood. You don't know the situations in life. But see, God knows. Amen. And what we see is someone on the platform singing. We don't know their story, but well, here's the deal. Here's the amazing thing about God. As we're missing sometimes the trophies of God's grace. You're a trophy of the grace of God. You're the beauty. You're the beauty of the cross. You're the beauty of the blood of Jesus. You're the beauty of His purpose. You are the beauty of why He died. And sometimes in your frustration with wanting to be, God's using you because you're steady and you're faithful and you're committed and you're obedient. And I want to tell you today that the small frames are going to be a bigger picture one day.
Amen.
Bigger picture. All the small frames. All the small frames. The little things. Ask yourself this question this morning. What am I here for? What did God create me for? And what am I going to do with my life? And when we ask that question and we think only from our carnal thinking, or our maybe not carnal, but from our human nature, then we start reflecting sometimes on the things that we're not instead of the things that we are. The enemy always wants to look at what we're not. This is what I'm not. But God wants to look at you as what you are. And that he created you for purpose and he didn't make any mistakes. You're not a mistake. I don't care what the world tells you, you're not a mistake. And I don't care what anybody says, that when you walk into the purpose of God, there's something supernatural that happens. Why? Why is that happening? Because God's love is so big that you can't contain it. God's love is so amazing that you can't even put your finite mind around it. God's love is so incredible that it reaches to places that none of us could ever reach, and it draws us out of the places that none of us, even some, would be willing to go. But God's hand is there. Why? Because the whole purpose in you is to worship and to have relationship with him. It ain't your job you go to. It's not your family even. It's him. He created you for his glory. So if he created you for his glory, why would he not help you fulfill your destiny? It would be like saying, I want my kids to do well, but good luck. I want you to succeed, but I'm not going to help you. I'm just going to cheer you on maybe when it's convenient. But God is so interested in the little things, in the small frames of your life. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Yeah. This is my message, but it wasn't supposed to be like this. But when I see God doing supernatural things, when I see Tyler and Anna, it's more than just a story. It's God's hand maneuvering. I picture in my mind like a chess table, and God strategically picking you up and moving you in the position that he has for you next. Now here's the deal. Let me say this right now. Here's the deal. You can resist that move by saying, God, don't touch me. Or you can embrace that move by saying, God, I'm surrendered. Move me where you want. You're not here for this moment. You're here for the next moment. You got to see that in the heavenlies. I'm not here just for this moment, but I'm here for the next moment. What I'm doing when I say I surrender is I'm saying, God, move me where you want me to be. I want to help all the smart people. You're way too intellectual for God sometimes. You way out thank God. God's not that complex. Although he's very complex, he's not that complex. It's very simple. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than you can even understand. He loves you in spite of your faults and failures and mistakes and just call it what it is, our stupid stuff we do. He loves us. And God has called us to do great things. What is great things? Great things are not bigger things. Great things are doing his thing. Great things are saying, God, I'm surrendered. I just want to do what you want me to do, God. I'm not going to forget my humble beginnings, because my humble beginnings were foundation for his purpose. Matter of fact, I need to go back sometimes and remember my humble beginnings. I need to go back to the cross and remember when God saved me. I need to go back and remember where God spoke to me in the secret places. I need to go back and remember when God said to me, I recall at 14 years old when I stepped walking across a field and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm calling you to pastor. That was before the 8 years of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of other stuff. And God never left that promise. Because I failed, God didn't fail. Because I ran away, God never ran away. Because I did stupid things, God says, I still love you. You're bigger than that. You're bigger than that. You just don't understand yet, son. You just hadn't caught a grip of my grace yet. You haven't understood. You haven't understood who I am yet, but you will. And when you do, it's going to be more than you can imagine. It's going to be so incredible because you're going to feel and sense my love like never before. The small frames, the little pieces, the golden nuggets, that's hidden deep within the cavity of the mountain that has to be dug out. And it has to be refined, and there has to be the process. But yet God doesn't see us in that way. He sees us as beautiful. Here's what the world wants to see you as: ball of rock and clay and dust and dirt and no good and maybe overlooked. But God sees you as beautiful. He sees you as beautiful. There's a baptism of his love in this place this morning. It's overwhelming. I can hardly stand here and talk. It's the grace of God that from the cross, he said, I love you so much that I'm going to give my son that you might have life. You might have life. You might have hope. You might have joy. You might have peace. Why would I want to live anywhere else? I'm going to tell you why we live in other places instead of there is because we haven't got a glimpse. We haven't quite understood. We can't quite wrap our minds around the love of God. It's not that we don't want to love. It's not that we don't want to be loved. It's simply because we haven't understood the grace of God yet. It's because we haven't allowed the grace of God to grab a hold of us and hold us. We so many times have this picture of God that he's this mean, judgmental, angry God. And we even try to take scriptures out of the Old Testament and apply them as this angry God. But everything that God ever did was out of love. Every judgment that God judged was out of love. He said, "Who I love, I chastise, not because I'm angry, but because I adore them." Because I adore them. If you have a child and you've ever disciplined your child and then your child walks away, and it's the funny thing that said, you know, like, that hurts me. My dad would say, "This hurts me, son, more than it does you." I'd be like, "Well, then don't do it." But it was until I had children that I understood what he was saying. This is, I don't want to do this, but I need to do this because if I don't do this, you're not going to understand down the road the repercussions of life that's going to take you places that I don't want you to go. And out of God's love, he corrects, he disciplines, but it's out of passion for us. It's out of grace for us. And he's seeing small frames, and he's looking at the small things that you're missing, but he's also looking at the bigger picture because he can see things you can't see. And somehow or another, we've got to move past this religious idea of God and move into an understanding of the grace of God and the relationship with God. It's simply one word: love. For God, I'm wrecked this morning. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Anna, he only told you while you was on your knees that your mom's going to be saved because he had already done the finished work. And it was not a question. It was just your answer. He wanted to comfort you, but his love was already there. And the people that you're praying for today, God's love is already there. And the people that's hurting today, God's love is already there. You don't have to go there. It is there. God's love. I'm going to read one scripture, and then I might just have to, I don't know. 1 John 4. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. For the love is from God. And whosoever love has been born of God and knows God. Anyone that does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And that this is the love, not that we have loved, but that he has loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfect in us. If you want to know what the Spirit of God is, it's the Spirit of love. That's his Spirit. God's Spirit is love, joy, peace, righteousness, holiness. If we could ever see God and imagine God, if we could leave here today and we could see God's love and we could imagine him loving us, then we can have that same image of God to love other people. But until we realize that he loves us, it's going to be hard to truly love. And I don't care who that is. Unless I see God's love, I can't love my wife like I'm supposed to love my wife. And until I see God's love, I can't love my kids like I'm supposed to love my kids. Until I see God's love, I can't love you, or I can't love the lost, or I can't love the broken, I can't love the prostitute, and I can't love the drunk, and I can't love the drug addict, and I can't love the hungry, and I can't love the poor, and I can't love the rich, and I can't love anyone until I can understand God's love. Amen. Because out of my own, I will find fault. Out of my own attempt to love people, I will find a reason not to love. But out of the love of God, there is no boundaries in love. Out of the love of God, there is no small places of love. Everything is amazing. Out of the love of God, he makes me perfect. He said, Pastor, you're not perfect. No, I'm not perfect, but out of the love of God, I'm made perfect. Out of the love of God, you're made perfect. Out of the love of God, you're perfected through him, not by your own ability, not by your own discipline even. We are disciplining ourselves because we love God, not because of our discipline. Or we receive his love, should I say. So when God comes to us, he comes to us and we're like Humpty Dumpty and we're all broken up and we've fallen off of our wall and life is overwhelming to us, and then God sees us as whole. He doesn't see us as broken and pieces and junk. He sees us as complete. We used to sing an old song, he looked beyond my faults. He saw my needs. He looked beyond my brokenness. He looked beyond my bitterness. He looked beyond my pain. He looked beyond all of those things and he saw me whole. Saw me whole. The devil wants to give you a flashback of your yesterday. And I mean your immediate yesterday when you lost it, when you got angry, when you were upset, when you were hurt, when you were wounded. He's always reminding of us our past, because if he could keep us reminded of our brokenness, then we'll never see our greatness. But when we receive the love of God in our lives, we're going to make mistakes. But God, we're going to be able to see us the way God sees us. We're going to be able to see ourselves the way that God sees us. We're not orphans. We're not beggars. We're not rejected. We're his kids. Amen. We're his kids. Kelly told me this morning she saw a dream of me. She saw a dream of me, and in that dream she saw me like a little baby in the arms of God. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Because for so many years of my life and even my ministry, I've tried to do this thing, man. I've gone to the classes, I've gone to the conferences, I've gone to the meetings, I've gone to the books, I've gone to all these things and tried to do what I thought others expected of me. Until a few years ago when God stripped me of all of that. And then I found out, you know what? God, I'm just going to be me, who you created me to be. And I don't mean this in a mean way, so don't take this offensively. And the rest of the world can get over it. I don't mean that I don't care about what you think, but I don't care what you think when it comes to what God thinks. When it comes to just being who God wants me to be, I don't have to live up to your standard. I don't have to live up to your expectation. Because here's the deal. If I try to live up to Rachel's expectation, and I try to live up to Gary's expectation, and I try to live up to Sandy's expectation, I try to live up to Jason's expectation, then the next thing I do, I want to live up to Jeff's expectation, and I want to live up to Michelle's expectation. Before long, I don't even know who I am. And I've lost my identity. And so I'm trying to be everything and all these things, and I've lost my identity because I'm not allowing the precious love of God to make me who I am. Come on. But here's the powerful thing. I found this out, that when I am who God called me to be, you know what? It's usually okay with everyone. Because those are false expectations. Those are not true. Those are not real things. Most of those things are things that the enemy is making you believe that are not even real. I'm not helping anybody today, because I'm sure helping myself. That if I could just be who God wants me to be, and I could stay in a place of brokenness before a Father. When I say brokenness, and I'm not talking broken, I'm talking about emptied out, allowing this new wineskin to receive all that he has. And when I find the flaw through my conviction, that I go and just replace that old part, and I make room for the love of God to flow to me every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Trophies. What if we stopped looking at people like we looked at them? What if we stopped gazing at people through the lens of this world, and we started seeing the trophies of the grace of God? Amen. Now, Tammy, I value you so much differently. Now I don't look at you and try to find out what's wrong with her. Why is this and why is that? I look at you as the trophy of the grace of God. And so now with a new lens that only God can give you, you can't get this out of just making a decision today. We make a decision to follow Jesus, but you can't just say, well, I'm going to make a decision today. This has to be a revelation to you today. And this has to be an encounter with God that I see through his eyes and through his love. And now, I see you as precious. And I'm going to love you more. Even though I love you, baby, I'm going to love you more because now my wife is not that girl I married that I'm chained to. She's not my old lady. She's not my... She's not my maid. She's not my washes my dirty underwear. She's the helpmate that God said, you can't live without her, dude. So I created her in the small frame. In the small frame for you. Just had a vision. It wasn't from God. She may have been in diapers when you saw her first, but I created her for you, for your purpose, so that you could be complete because you was not complete without her. Divorces are over. Children are never abandoned again. Lives are restored. Why? Because I'm looking through the eyes of the Father and His love and His mercy and His grace. Now I become a humble servant of the Lord, obedient to His will, not because I have to, because I want to, because He first loved me. It's just a baptism of the love of God here today. And whatever God has planned for your life, and whatever circumstances have come along that has interrupted those things, doesn't mean that God's plan is not still in place. God's plan is still in place regardless of circumstances. Because He goes beyond our circumstances. He knew you was going to be here today. He knew the plan He had for you. And all the circumstances in life can't stop that. So today is the new day. Today is the fresh start. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life when you see the Father. When you see His love, when you see who He's called you to be, today is the first day of the rest of your life.